It is. It's a joy, really. It's a pleasure to be with you. And I don't say this to every church. I mean, I say this to a few churches, but I don't say this to every church that I wish I lived closer. That doesn't mean I'd be here more Sundays, but I wish I lived closer just so I could hang out with you. In this position, you really don't have a local church to hang out with. You're kind of all over the place. So, but this is one of those churches, one of those places where it's just good to be with you. It really is. Especially when you give out whoopie pies. I mean, I remember the last time I was here. I mean, it seemed like every Sunday I was here was a food Sunday. Remember that? That was great. You can tell I haven't missed that, but it's good. And I always talk about this too. I really do. This was the place where one of the messages I preached, I went 52 minutes. Remember that? Anybody? It was the Valley of the Dry Bones. Remember that? Beth remembers that. It's like a nightmare, she said, but comes in. Oh, she didn't say that. No, she didn't. I'm just kidding. But it was incredible. And I tell people, I said, man, I went to a place once and we were doing the Valley of the Dry Bones and they were listening so good that it went 52 minutes. It was just went along. And it really did go 50. I didn't realize it was 52 minutes. So I'm looking at the clock. Today won't be 52, I promise. 54, 55 maybe, but no, I'm just kidding. But it is a pleasure to be with you. And I look forward to walking together in this journey with you, and we're going to put Dallas to work a little more, and others who are here that they have a servant's heart. So it's great to be with you. So I'm just going to give you kind of a very general overview of kind of how we'll work this together. I'll be meeting with the board soon. Usually I'm in meeting with the board ahead of time, but we have five other churches that are open right now. And then I have these forums over the next week or two. And so it's just been kind of a busy time. So we'll meet with the board. And because I want to, one of my responsibilities, I take this very seriously, is I want to make sure the board is at the place where they can hear from God and with you as well. I mean, you know, I know that I always say we want to hear from God after we hear from ourselves. A lot of times we hear from ourselves first and we think, well, this would be a good person. That would be a good person. And I'm not saying that doesn't matter because it really does. But we need to hear from God first, right? And so part of my responsibility is in the leadership is to help them get to that place to we can hear and discern God's voice together. Then there'll be an opportunity for us to develop a profile, kind of a thing that we'll work on, of a profile of the congregation. You'll be involved in that as well, and a profile of some characteristics of, you know, what you're thinking the next pastor would have, those qualities and characteristics, and you'll be involved in that as well. And then there'll be a time where we'll say, hey, if you have some names you like to share, if you have some resumes you like to share, send them along, and you can contact a board member and myself or whatever. And we're not at that point yet, but you know, we'll let you know, and then you can submit names, and we'll gather some resumes, and we'll use the profile of what you've talked about your congregation, and what you've talked about what you think the next pastor should be like, and that will be our lens, that will be a grid, so to speak, that will evaluate the resumes that we have. And you know, we begin to pare the list down to the top, you know, 250 or probably to the top, you know, the top four or five. It depends. It's hard to give a number because, you know, each situation is different. Each context is different. And we'll kind of get it down to a workable number, and we'll kind of work on some phone interviews, and we'll kind of keep you, you know, abreast of the situation. And we can't really tell you the names because some of those are very confidential, and they're seeking God too. They're not necessarily looking to move, but they're seeking the Lord as well in the discerning process. And so, you know, we'll gradually get the names down to a phone interview, then we'll do a face-to-face interview, and gradually, hopefully, hopefully, I mean, doesn't mean like it won't happen, it will happen. We'll find a person, and we'll have them come for a meet and greet, just like Josh and Jen were that weekend, and Q&A time, they'll preach, and then after a couple of weeks, there's It's two public meetings. You'll have opportunity to vote for that person. That's kind of general, the kind of general process. So we'll do as best we can to keep you in the loop and to keep you updated on things. And, you know, it's not like this is a problem church. It's not like this is a great church, right? Look at the person next to you and say, you know, you're pretty good. You are. This row was a little quiet here. You're pretty good. You're pretty good. It really is. I mean that. I really do mean that. This is a great place to be. And so I'm looking forward to see how God will work among us. So when I came the first Sunday after Pastor White retired, I talked to you about God's waiting room. Remember that? Do you remember the points I made? Oh, good. So I can do it again. No, I am going to go to that passage again, but I have some new things. You know, it's like when you're at a passage of Scripture, it's amazing how things jump out to you that never jumped out to you before. You know, and so I'm going to invite you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. My messages, when I do my messages, I usually get rid of the notes. I mean, the message itself, because I don't want to be tempted to, it's not that you don't have similar ideas, but, you know, I try to stay as fresh as I can. So in Luke chapter 2, verse number 21, it's a familiar passage of Scripture, not this time of the year, obviously, but this is a familiar passage of Scripture. As Jesus on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise Jesus, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. So all this is going on, and while this is going on, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was what? Waiting. How many of you like to wait? I know. So this is for us, right? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Isn't that amazing? You can be in waiting mode and still have the Holy Spirit on you. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Lord, I pray that you would just speak your words to us through your word. I thank you, God, for your word, and may you encourage our hearts and remind us, God, that it is your church, that we belong to you. And I know it has the Church of the Nazarene name on it, but really, we belong to you. And to that end, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts and that you will encourage us and help us at whatever point we are in this journey this morning. Holy Spirit, you've already been speaking to our hearts through the music and through even the announcements as we talked about community, what it means, and through the opportunity we have to give to you. And I pray, God, that you will speak to our hearts through your word. In your name, amen. So the first thing I want to share with you this morning is that you and I are in God's waiting room. And that's very important to understand. We're in God's waiting room. How many of you have had to be in a waiting room? You know, a doctor's waiting room. You know, have you noticed they have, well, at least the doctors I go to, they're changing. So it used to be, you know, it said waiting area, waiting room. And now they've changed the words. Did you notice that? It's reception area. As if they're trying to trick us, right? You know? You know what you're going to do when you go there. You're going to what? End up waiting. Reception area. That just added 15 minutes to my waiting time. I mean, it's just... But we're in God's waiting room. God's waiting room. I think that's very important because if you had to go to the dentist, right, you wouldn't go to your primary care, would you? Can you imagine being in the wrong waiting room? Can you imagine being in your primary care's physician's waiting room when you thought you were going to see the dentist? I mean, think about that for a minute. How many of you like going to the dentist? How many of you don't like going to the dentist? Oh, my people. After the whoopie pies, we'll probably have to go to the dentist. But so, I mean, can you imagine going into your primary care physician's office and you know that the thing the dentists use that sounds like, and you know, and you have that wonderful odor of, right? Yeah. Can you imagine your primary care physician holding that and saying, open up your mouth, right? Or Novocaine, you know the Novocaine, needle. I mean, that sucker is long, right? Can you imagine your primary care physician saying, "Oh, this won't hurt a bit"? It's important to understand that we're in God's waiting room. We're in God's waiting room, and that's an important place for us to be. And we're in. Well, I almost knocked the candle over. Oh, it's not. Oh, phew. Just thought, I'm just going to create a fire. I'm sorry, I'm rambling here. You wouldn't go to, I mean, if you had to go to the cardiologist, you wouldn't go to your podiatrist. I mean, if you had to go to your primary care, you wouldn't go to, you know, an ear doctor. You would go to the place that you're supposed to go. We are in God's waiting room. We belong to him. Don't you think God can take care of his church? Amen. We are his church. Sometimes we get in these areas and we can get anxious. Or sometimes we can get in these kinds of situations and we can think we know what is best. We're in God's waiting room. And he knows what's best. And so we need to be reminded about that. I need to be reminded about that. This is God's waiting room. So we're in this plan, we're in this process, and God is in control. Amen. I'm not in control. You're not in control. The board's not in control. I mean, we have responsibility. You know, we have to be, you know, we're committed to the task. We have, you know, we have a job to do, roles to fulfill. But really, it belongs to God. We belong to God. I mean, you can go to 1 Corinthians 12. I'm not going to do that because you've already been through 1 Corinthians. Look, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body of Christ. As each part does its work, and God has arranged it. And in there, Paul talks about the head, who is Christ. In the book of Colossians, once again, Paul goes almost crazy talking about the Christology of Christ, the exaltation of Christ. And in that passage in Colossians, he says, the head of the church, who is Christ. In Ephesians 4, you know, he talks about how, you know, he gave some to be apostles and teachers, and he makes that list. And he talks about the head of the church, who is Jesus Christ. As every joint and every ligament does its work according to the head that is Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad you're not in charge of his church? Amen? Now, you may think you are, but you're not. he's in charge. He's the head. This is God's waiting room. So why do we need to fear, and why do we have to experience anxiety? The other day, the Metro New York District Superintendent, Art Alexander, retired, or is retiring. And so when a district superintendent retires, the rest of the region, there's 8 districts on this region, we try to be there to be supportive, and we actually get to sing a song, you know, kind of thing, and it's a lot of fun. And but I had the opportunity to be part of that, and with the other DSs, and it was just a great celebration together to realize that the church belongs to Jesus. It wasn't like a political convention where you have groups in corners talking about this. It wasn't, you know, states weren't gathered or counties weren't gathered. We're going to present this name, or we're going to present that name. And if they don't do what we want them to do, we're going to do this and that. None of that happened. It was about finding the mind of the Spirit, because we're in God's waiting room. I'm glad that we belong to his church. Don't you? It's a great church. So remember, we are in God's waiting room. The second thing I want to share with you from this passage is that be patient. Or I should say be a patient. Be patient. You know, it's interesting when in this passage of scripture, we read that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now the word waiting is an interesting word. And the word is paraklesis, which is a part of the word the parakletos, which means someone who is standing in your stead, or someone who is an advocate for you, or someone who brings comfort, someone who brings encouragement, a call done by someone who is close beside and bringing personal evidence or exhortation that delivers the evidence that stands up in God's court. There's an intimacy. There's a place of encouragement. It's not like we're sitting waiting, kind of tapping our fingers, or we're sitting, you know, or we're sitting waiting, kind of going like this with our feet. You ever sit near someone like that? I mean, they're kind of going like that, and the whole table is. But it's kind of a nervous thing, right? So the waiting that we have is not this kind of anxious waiting, or, oh, I wish someone would call, I wish someone would come. It's a word of encouragement. It's a word of comfort. You know, so Simeon's here. So he has this bucket list. And one of the items on his bucket list is he wasn't going to die until he saw the Lord's Messiah. Now, it wasn't given to him any kind of sense of, you know, this is going to happen in 2 weeks, it's going to happen in 2 years. I mean, when they brought Jesus into the temple, there was no, you know, they had no sign or no T-shirt that said, you know, I'm Jesus. You know, his mother and his father didn't have any T-shirts that said, I'm with the anointed one. You know how they have that kind of thing. I mean there are many babies in that temple court during that time. How did Simeon know Jesus was the one? This baby was Jesus. He was waiting. I mean, it was a word of encouragement. It was a word of exhortation. And so God had revealed to him. And so he was encouraged while he was waiting. I mean, we don't read of him being discouraged, or we don't read of him being not involved. We don't read of him being anxious. He was looking forward to this. It was almost like he would probably say, it's almost as if my life is made for this time to wait for God's answer. So be patient. That's hard to do today, right? If you wait more than 10 seconds for your internet to work, it's like, man, something's wrong. Remember years ago when, you know, it was dial-up? Remember when the World Wide Web, you had this... Remember that, how that, you know, and it would take like a minute. and oh, you were so excited. Wow, a minute, that wasn't bad at all. You know, you're connected to the world. Now if it takes more than 10 seconds, it's, oh, what is wrong with this thing? Be patient. And be a patient, but be patient. Remember, it's God's waiting room. Number two, be patient. Be patient. And the third thing I want to share with you is this. It's while we're in this waiting room together, be growing. Be engaged. It's interesting. Sometimes we think waiting means we don't do anything. Well, we're just sitting there. We don't do anything. My cardiologist has five other cardiologists in this South Shore Cardiology, where my doctor cardiologist office is. So it's a pretty good size reception area. I mean, so there's all, and it used to be I was the youngest one years ago. I'm not the youngest one anymore, so I don't know what that means, but what happens is, you know, so you're waiting and they have the TV going and you have, you know, old magazines that you could read or I don't know. But what I discovered, I could actually pray with some specificity while I was waiting, because the nurse opens the door. You know, there's five cardiologists. So the nurse opens the door and she'll call, Mr. Thopp. Oh, there's a guy named Mr. Thopp. He's like me. He must need to see a cardiologist. So I don't even know what's going on with Mr. Thopp. But I do know that he's got something going on with his heart. And I have something going on with my heart. So I'm praying. Now I don't stand up and say, oh Lord, there goes Mr. Thopp. I pray that you will help him and be with him. I should do that. That would empty the waiting room, wouldn't it? That's not a bad idea. I hadn't thought about that. You just gave me that idea. Just put my hand down there. But I can pray for him while I'm waiting, right? Because sometimes when we wait, we're kind of focused on ourselves. Simeon here, as he's waiting, you know, you read he was righteous, he was devout. You know, the word righteous means he was conforming to God's own being, with becoming more like Christ. He was devout, which means he was taking hold of what is good and learning more about the leadership of God in his life. And the Holy Spirit was, if that's not all, the Holy Spirit was upon him. So this is not a time, my brothers and sisters, to back off. This is not a time to be disengaged. This is a time to be engaged. This is a time to be involved. This is a time for you to be. So how do you grow? Well, you come to worship service. You go to a discipleship time afterwards. And if the pastor gets done tonight, this morning, you'll be able to go there too. But you're involved in that. You're involved in small groups. You're involved in prayer. Well, what a great thing to come on that Tuesday evening, whatever the date was. I have it on my calendar. But whatever the date was that we're meeting together with the board, to come early and to lift them in prayer. That's great. That's being engaged. That's not backing off. Sometimes people get a little nervous, and I understand, you know, they're kind of working through some things, and I get that, but this is God's church. We belong to him. And I want to say this the right way. This is not Ken Stanford's church. This is not Josh Johnson's church. This is God's church, not John White's church. It's God's church. Now, these people have served well, and they've been pastors, and we're grateful for them. Amen. You better say that. Pastor White's here. We've had great servants that have led this church. Now, they're not perfect, right? Amen. Well, that was better. None of us are. I always tell, when I meet with church boards and pastors, I say, there's two things you need to understand. Because they, and rightly so, the board, we want our pastor to help grow the church. And that's right. And I share with the board, but it's your responsibility to help grow the pastor. We're in this together, amen? And I know the pastor's had training and the pastor's had the call of God, and that's so very important. But what a beautiful thing happens when pastor and people work together to reach the lost for Jesus Christ and to help disciple people. And you are that kind of a church. You really are. I'm not just saying that. You are. And God's going to do great things. But we need to be engaged. This is a time to ramp up your prayer life. This is a time to ramp up to make sure that you're a part of those activities. This is a time to be an encourager. This is a time to be faithful in your giving and in your prayer and in your time. And it's just a great place to be. So be growing. Be engaged. Don't back off. Be engaged. You're needed. You may think, well, yeah, they really don't. Yes, they do. We need each other. Amen? Look at the person next to you and say, hey, I need you. Well, that's not bad. I didn't hear many, hey, I need you. But that's all right. That's all right. Be growing. Be engaged. We need to encourage one another. Oh, I've got 10 more, so I'm just going to go down to 2 more. Number 4, be expectant. Be positive. Be positive. Simeon and Anna, when you read about their engagement, they were positive, and it was an incredible experience. They were, there's enough to be negative about, but be expectant, be positive. Simeon was expectant, and Anna, even though she had gone through a tough situation, she worshiped the Lord day and night. Sometimes what can happen is we can be fearful or anxious. We can start wringing our hands. Hey, you know what's happened? Jackie and I are grandparents. Yeah, we had everything to do with it. But so Tim and Abby, Tim's our oldest, a year ago January 2nd, Miles was born. And then Jeremy and Ashley, Jeremy's youngest, a year ago February 8th, Tucker was born. So they've just passed a year old thing. So, you know, it's amazing songs that you learn. You know what I'm talking about? They're not hymns of the faith, but they sure help, right? For long drives. There's a song that's called the Wheels on the Bus. You know that song? Right? The wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, round. Sing it. The wheels on the bus go round and round all through the town. I think that was an E flat, Beth. I'm not sure. But there's a verse that I kind of like, and I play it up big. And it's the babies on the bus go. Right, you know that song too, right? The babies on the bus go wah wah. I mean, and your face, you know, you just don't go wah wah wah. Your face goes wah wah wah, right? In this waiting time, don't be a baby on the bus. You know, don't come in here and go, wah, 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 wah. I didn't sing my song today. Wah, 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 wah. Oh, no one talked to me this morning. Wah, 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 wah. Yeah, this is why I don't do this very often, right? Be positive. Don't be negative. There's a lot to be negative. And I'm not saying, pretend we're robots. I mean, there's a lot of things that can get us discouraged. But we're coming into God's house. We're with God's people. And there's a place. I mean, if you're hurting, I'm not saying don't be hurting or pretend that everything's, yippee-yoo-ki-yay. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is be positive. Be expectant. Know that God is on the throne and he's going to help, and he's going to make a difference. Simeon, I don't know how long Simeon and Anna have been waiting, but I do know the people of God have been waiting for hundreds of years for the Messiah to come. And he came. So be expectant, be positive. So when you come in here and whoever's involved in the service, encourage them. Be an encourager. That's my last one. My last one is be a blesser. Be a blesser. You know, Simeon blessed them. And the word bless is an interesting word. The word bless means to speak which confers benefit. Actually, it's the word we get eulogy from. In the Greek, it's eulogy, something like that. But it's where we get the word eulogy from. So let me tell you, don't wait until someone dies to praise them and bless them. And I'm not saying eulogies are bad, right? You know, you've gone to a funeral service I get asked to say, just bring a eulogy, and they're good, and they're important, and they help the family. But we need to bless people now, right? Be a blessing. Bless people. So how do you bless people? Dallas, you look good today. I like that tie. You did a great job. Beth, thanks for singing that song. You know, that was a great job. You know, this sound guy, where'd he go? Thanks for being part of the PowerPoint. Thanks for playing an instrument. Thanks for teaching a class. Thanks for being here. Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for the whoopie pie. Oh, that's for the mothers, right? Okay. You do Father's Day whoopie pies too on Father's Day? I don't know. What do you do on Father's Day? Whoopie pies? Man.
Well, no, you'll be back, son.
Yeah, so when is Father's Day again? I gotta. Wait, hang on a second. Let me check to see where I am on Father's Day. Father's Day is June 17th, right?
Yes.
You see that? There's nothing there. There's nothing there. LOUDON. WD. 9:30. Whoopie pies. WHOOPIE. That did Whoopi Goldberg. That don't Whoopi Goldberg. I'm sorry. Now you know why they don't have me preach many places. What are we talking about here, Whoopi Pies? Oh, be a blesser. That's right. Be a blesser. Someone who confers benefit. So you and I have an opportunity to help benefit other people. You and I have an opportunity to help encourage other people. Because you just never know who might be discouraged. You have an opportunity to be an encourager. And I'm telling you, when you're an encourager, it changes a lot of things. When I was in the hospital, it was over 10 years ago, for all the heart stuff, they were doing all these tests and everything else, I decided that I was going to be a blesser. You know, I was grateful for the nurses. I was grateful for the people that bring the food up, even though they had to make it, you know, not as much as I wanted. I learned, you know, there's a secret for encouraging. When you encourage someone, like for instance, when they had to change my, the menu and I couldn't order this and I couldn't order that. I had to instead order this and order that. And, you know, so when I had to change the menu, so I could have orange sherbet. I thought it was a pretty good deal. So I would write on my menu thing, thanks for the sherbet. That was delicious. You know what I got the next time? Two sherbets. So I figured, hey, this is a good deal. I love the bananas were great. I got two bananas. I heard there was cheesecake. Nothing. You know, encouragement only goes so far, I guess. But be a blesser. The people that come clean your hospital rooms. You know, everyone had a name. And most of the time, the people that cleaned my room, it was a longer name, or it was a name that I had to become familiar with. It wasn't Patty, or it wasn't Joe, or it wasn't, you know, it was a longer name. So it was had a different origin to that name. So when the person came in to clean, no one ever talks to people that clean rooms. You ever notice that? In the house, I mean, no one talks to them. So I decided I'm going to be a blesser because I want God to bless me. And so when they came in, I asked. I said, "Thank you for cleaning my room. I can't pronounce your name. How do you say your name?" And so usually it was a woman. She would tell me what it was, what her name was, and I said, "Well, help me understand it. You know, help me, you know, be able to understand your name." And the next day she would come in, and I said her name. Now I didn't say it quite right. And she smiled. I said, "Yeah, I know. I'm kind of dumb. So could you help me with the?" And the next day she came in. She was looking for me. I mean, she had a smile on her face. And I got to know when the person would deliver the food. I got to know their names. When the person would take me in the gurney, you know, for those tests. We did an experiment. Did I ever tell you this? We did an experiment. Oh, I got to quick. I'll tell you the story real quick. So I would do this because I was there for like 8 days. So I decided I was going to have fun while I was in the hospital as much as I could. So they, you know, they put you in the gurney and they kind of take you down the hallway. And everyone, when they walk by you in the hallway, if you're in, you know, in the gurney, they just look like that. You know, they don't even look at it. They kind of look off to the side. Did you ever notice that? So I decided I'm going to do something about it. So I said to the technician, I said, "Hey, you want to have some fun?" So I think he was thinking I was going to say, "Can we go down the elevator and out the door?" And I said, "Hey, you want to have some fun?" So as we go by people, I'm going to say, "Hey, how you doing?" And let's watch and see what happens. Let's see if people will actually respond to you, because, you know, sometimes people do, sometimes people don't. So, okay, so I said, "You have to count what people do, okay?" So, okay. So we come down the hallway and are going by someone, and they're kind of like this, said, "Hey, how you doing?" And they just kept going, you know. And so I said to the guy, you know, who was doing the thing, I said, "Okay, did you get that?" And the next person, "Hey, how you doing?" And they actually said, "Okay." We got into the elevator, you know, "Hey, how you doing?" They wanted to get out of the elevator real quick. What is wrong with this guy? But it was great. It was great. So by the end of my stay, they were all asking the people that push those gurneys, you know, I forget what they're called, but they were all asking, you know, "Who has Mr. Stanford today? Because we want to do the experiment with Mr. Stanford." It was a blast. It was a lot of fun. That's nothing to do with Simeon or Anna, but. So I just want to encourage you to be a blesser. Speak life into people. Your church board, pray for them by name. Send a note, an encouraging email. When you see them on a Sunday, bless them. Be a blessing to them. We need to bless others. Well, I have to quit right now, but remember whose waiting room you're in. Be patient while you're a patient. Be growing, be engaged. Be expectant, be positive, and be a blesser. Speak life. We can do those things, can't we? So we're gonna close, because I know you got to get going here, and we're gonna close. And I would like to have all the board members, if you will come up and just kneel here. We're gonna gather around. Oh, you don't have to kneel. Come up and just stand. We'll gather around you and pray. So all the board members, come on up. This is not a trick. Come on up. We're gonna lift you in prayer. Yeah, come on. Come right over here. We're gonna lift you in prayer. What a crew, huh?
Nice message.
Oh, thank you very. Wow. See, you're blessing already. Good deal. Oh, your heart is racing. What's going on? Okay, so one more coming. All right. They try to sneak out, don't they? You know, I'm kind of running late because it's past quarter of, and that's the time we're supposed to transition, right?
No, 11 o'clock.
Oh, 11 o'clock? Oh, wait a minute. Hey, I got 10 more minutes. So just hang on. No. I'm just kidding. Almost missed you.
With the babies.
Well, that's important. Yes. That's important. Actually, you can turn and face everyone. They really don't want to see you back, but these are your leaders. So these are the folks that are going to meet with me. We're going to meet together. We're going to have a great time digging in the Word, talking about you. No, I mean talking about the church and working on things and asking God to help us discern His will for our next pastor. And you're going to lift them in prayer, aren't you? You're going to pray. You know them. You know their names. You know where they live. They know where you live. You know where they live. And you're going to lift them in prayer, right? So we're going to close our service this morning by gathering around them and lift them in prayer. So come on up, or come down, or come on over. I have oil. This is DS oil. No, it's not. It's just, it's almost gone, actually. This is like my third vial this week. No, it's not. I'm just kidding. We're going to anoint you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, we are grateful for these leaders. I'm sure when they were engaged in this process, they probably never thought that this is what they were going to do. But you know all about that, God, because this is your church. We belong to you. And we thank you, God, for these men and women who are here who want to serve you by serving your church. And we're going to lift them in prayer. We're going to encourage them. In fact, we're probably going to go home today and put their name down on a list, or put them on our refrigerator, or put them in our Bible. And we're going to lift them in prayer each time we pray. You may wake us up in the middle of the night to lift them in prayer. We thank you, God, for them. We love them. They are our leaders. So we're going to be a source of encouragement. We're going to be a source of engagement. We're going to speak life into their lives. Actually, we're going to do that with each other, because they're going to do the same to us. And we're going to be a people who bless them. And so, Lord, and we commit, I wish I had enough oil to anoint everyone, but we pray, God, that you'll anoint all of us as we go through this process together. Help us to navigate our emotions and our feelings. Help us to navigate our anxieties. Help us to remember that this is your church and that we're in your waiting room. And help us, Lord, to be patient. Help us to be an encourager. Help us to be a blesser. Help us to grow and be engaged. Help us, Lord, not to stay away, but to become even more involved, perhaps. Help us to participate. Help us to be positive. Oh, Lord, help us to be people after your redemptive purpose. Help us to be kingdom people. And Lord, if there's brokenness that happens in our midst, help us to be a healer. If there's discouragement in our midst, help us to be an encourager. Lord, if people are confused, help us, Lord, to help with their confusion. If people get angry or for whatever reason, Lord, help us to be a brother or a sister who walks alongside with them. Because we really do need each other. This is the body of Christ. Really, as we belong to you, we belong to each other. So Lord, teach us that. Thank you for our pastors who are here, those who are on staff, those who have retired. Lord, we actually look to them in kind of a just an automatic way, because they're your shepherds. They have served you, and it's not that we're putting them to work, Lord, but it's as pastors, we're ministers. It's just what we do. So I pray, Lord, because we know, God, that they will be praying for us as well. So we pray for all our pastors here, that you'll be a source of encouragement to them as well. Lord, we love you today. We really do. I can't think of a better place to be than to be with your people. Even in this place, Father, we love you. And so we commit ourselves to you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. I give everyone a hug. Give everyone a hug.